Hello, kiddies. Yes, once again, this is your old friend Uncle Rubbish saying once again to all kiddies everywhere, Merry Christmas to all kiddies everywhere. Now then, do you know where I'm speaking to you from?
Your mouth. Which at the moment contains teeth.
Yes. No, kiddies, I'm in a famous hospital which is full of poor little kiddies who can't be at home this Christmas with their mummies and daddies. Isn't that sad? But I have come to cheer them up. Now, let's look in the first little cot. Hello. I know you're in there somewhere. Come on, stop hiding under your blanket. Uncle Rubbish has brought you a teddy bear. Come on, wake up and say something.
Honestly, lads, can't a fella have a lie in one day?
So what I want to, I do. What I want to, I see. What I want to, I see. I laugh when I want to, I cry when I want to, I breathe the fish in the sea.
I tell him better. Ha ha ha. One heart, another heart, and here's one pillow. Ha ha ha. Did you hear the one?
I did.
I'll tell you another.
Okay.
What do you call a brick on an Irishman's head?
I don't know.
An extension.
At the National Dog Show, a Cocker Spaniel had 2 firsts, 3 seconds, and a highly commended. On his way home, he had 2 trees, 3 lampposts, and he was highly delighted.
Ah, here they have a name for rain, a name for wind and fire. The rain is Fred, the fire's Jim, but they call the wind
Ethel.
And we've just heard from Tin Pan Alley that they're combining the songs I Can't Stand Losing You, Little Donkey, Face the Music, Mother of Mine, Back Home, and Side by Side, and calling it I Can't Stand Your Mother, she's got a face like a donkey's backside.
Oh, Amanda, Amanda, my dearest, darling Amanda. As you sit there in the half light, your eyes twinkling like bright stars, and your hair cascading down your back in honeyed pools of loveliness, it makes it all the harder, my darling, to tell you, to confess my guilty secret. You see, my darling, I've been married before. There, I've said it. Oh, don't look like that, Amanda. I was young. I was foolish. Oh, heavens, I was foolish. I didn't know what I was doing. I must have been out of my mind. You see, my darling, I married a giraffe.
And we've just heard that the celebrity football match between the cast of Crossroads and the cast of the Borgias ended in chaos today when both sides were sent off for going over the top.
And Tin Pan Alley have done it again. They're combining the songs Shooby Doo, Shanana, Da Doo Run Run, Doo 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 Da Da Da, and Wop Bop Loo Bop Alam Bam Boom. And they're going to call it. And on the agricultural front, there's good news for the small farmer. Small cows.
All the Deadwood stages are coming on over the hill.
Ah! Serves you right for standing in the middle of the road, pal. And news has just come in that 24 tons of assorted nuts has been stolen from a lorry parked near Epping Forest.
The police are looking for a 12-foot squirrel with a hernia.
He were a great baker, were I, were that? I remember when I was a lad, we never had much money, but when Christmas came around, we were as good as anybody. Come Christmas Day, there we'd be, sat around table with biggest duck you'd ever clapped eyes on. Mind you, it was the same duck every year. My dad never had the heart to kill it. It used to waddle round table and sit in your turkey broth. Duck used to love Christmas. Afterwards, we'd all sit round Christmas tree, picking feathers out of our teeth and opening presents. I remember one Christmas, I were only one in house not to get a present. But I didn't let on I were bothered, because I knew there were no money. But on Christmas night, me dad put his hand on me shoulder and took me outside and pointed to the sky. He said, "That's your present, son." And I looked up and there was this bright star, brightest in all sky, twinkling all alone. "That's your present, lad, that star. Sorry we couldn't wrap it up for you." I didn't sleep all night, just looking out the window at me star, what me mum and dad had got me for Christmas. Boxing Day, I rushed round to me best friend Albert Braithwaite's, and I swapped it in for his brand new electric train set. He were even dapper than me dad was with Albert Braithwaite.
Hello, good evening and welcome. The most talked about event of 1982 is the eagerly awaited birth of the royal baby. In the studio tonight, we have three people closely concerned with this wonderful happening. Sitting on my right, Royal Press Secretary Sir Archibald Ponsonby Pratt. Sir Archibald, it's been your job to keep the public informed of every aspect of this whole exciting event, to be the perfect public relations man in a matter that brings so much joy to so many people. Tell me, what has the public response been like?
I don't know!
Incredible. And what about the happy couple themselves? Are they thrilled with anticipation?
I don't know!
Let me turn, if I may, to the lady on your right, Sister Agnes Longbottom. You will be assisting at the birth. Tell me, do you have any immediate worries?
Has anybody seen me tea?
Fascinating. And what advice will you give to any mothers-to-be who are listening?
I think they're in the junkyard in Clarence.
And now, finally, the royal doctor who has to remain anonymous. Doctor, you'll be looking after the princess even now. Is she on a special diet?
Well, you see, Jack Frost, it's like this. I give her plenty of turnips, you see. Turnips and carrot top.
Fabulous.
Oh, yeah, three buckets full of days she's going through.
And what about Prince Charles? Is he suffering from any expectant father symptoms?
Well, you see, Aunt Sally's looking after him, sir. Oh, yeah, at the moment, she's stuffing straw down the back of his trousers.
And a final word from you, Sir Archibald. Is everything under control?
I don't know!
And welcome yet again to the Hammersmith Palais for the Formation Dance Finals. And you join us just in time to see the East South Midlands Stuart Hall Impressionists Formation Dancers.
Hello, Grumbleweed Christmas Party.
Stuart Hall here.
Oh, hello, Stuart.
Don't hello, Stuart, me. About that last joke.
Yes, funny, wasn't it?
It was not funny. It was pathetic.
Well, everybody laughed.
Well, I didn't.
That'll make a change.
I'm sick and tired of people making jokes about me. I blame that Irish twit, Terry Wogan.
Hello, Grumbleweed's Christmas party.
Hello, lads.
Hello, Terry.
Ah, just listening to this show, that last joke about Stuart Hall. Wonderful. He made the dog laugh.
Actually, Terry, we've got Stuart on the other line.
Now, look here, Wogan. I'm serious. Right, it's legal. What do you say to that? Right, splendid. You'll receive a letter from my solicitor in the morning.
Sorry, Stuart, postcards only.
All right. Postcard from my solicitor in the morning.
And if I've got the record he asks for, I'll be delighted to play it.
Have a nice day.
And how's about that then, guys and gals? Because we have just caught Jimmy the Gaffer in this fabulously famous department store doing a bit of last-minute Christmas shopping, helping to find something to go on the Christmas tree.
I'm free.
Oh, goodness gracious. I think we'll fly over here. Goodness gracious, goodness gracious. No, could this be the one and only Captain Peacock?
No, it's me, you daft bastard.
Dear Lord, it's Mrs. Slowcoach.
Slocum, and we'll have less of your cheek just because you own British Rail. Oh, I've got a customer. Now then, sir, can I help you?
Hello, young lady.
Oh, what a nice man.
Well, you see, I've never bought anything like this for my wife before.
No need to be embarrassed, sir. Now, what's her favourite colour?
Well, let me see now. She likes black.
Don't we all?
But then again, she likes pink.
Oh, so does Mr. Humphreys.
But what about a see-through?
Yes, we've got a see-through with a nice frilly edge round.
I don't know. No, but I ought to stick to navy blue, I think.
And what size?
Oh, enormous. As big as possible. With enough room for two.
Right. There we are, sir. Pay the lady over there. Oh, honestly, the fuss some people make over buying an umbrella.
And welcome to Garages, the famous London department store. I'm speaking to you from Santa's Fairy Grotto, and here he is himself, looking tired but ready for his big night. Hello, Santa!
Hello. Ho, ho, ho.
Santa, I understand that you've had an innovation this year, a dialer Santa telephone service.
Oh, yes. Ho, ho, ho. Wonderful.
So all the kiddies who didn't get in to see you could speak to you on the telephone.
Absolutely. Ho, ho, ho. All they had to do was dial 7, ho, ho, 9, ho, ho.
And tell me, how many calls have you had?
9,999.
Oh, what a shame. You couldn't have made it 10,000. Well, isn't that fantastic?
Hello, ho, ho.
Hello?
Hello, Santa speaking.
Hello?
Hello, you're speaking to Santa's grotto.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Ho, ho, ho.
Ah, I can hear you now. Oh, oh, oh. I have the mouthpiece to my ear. I'm always doing that.
Well, what can I do for you, little girl?
Pardon?
What do you want?
Oh, yes. Is that the vet? I want the vet.
And what's this, Santa?
I think she wants a vet's outfit. So many of them, do you know? Ho, ho, ho.
Hello?
Yes, little girl, don't worry. Leave it to me. The answer is yes, but only if you're a good little girl.
Pardon? Look, I live at number 27, Primrose Avenue.
You don't have to tell me that. I know where everybody lives.
Do you?
Yes. Ho, ho, ho.
Everybody?
Everybody in the world.
You must have a big round. Anyway, what time will you be arriving?
In the middle of the night when you're fast asleep.
That's a bit daft, isn't it? But why don't you come in the middle of the day when I'm wide awake?
Because you'd see me.
I want to see you. So does Basil.
Is Basil your little friend?
Yes. And he's foolish. That's why I'm ringing you.
And what's the matter with Basil?
He's just floating on top of his water, blowing bubbles. He was swimming yesterday, but after I'd given him his food, he just started floating.
Well, maybe poor old Basil ate something that disagreed with him. What did you give him?
Ants' eggs.
Ants' eggs?
He's had tums.
Oh, the poor boy. Look, why don't you give him a big dollop of trifle?
Trifle?
Yes, and a big helping of Christmas pudding.
With custard?
But of course.
Won't it make his water cloudy?
It shouldn't do. It doesn't make my water cloudy.
Anyway, if you're coming in the middle of the night, shall I leave the door open?
No need to do that. I shall be coming down the chimney.
Don't you think that's a bit silly?
I shall be coming down thousands of chimneys.
Well, what you do in your private life, don't you know? I'll put some newspaper down on the carpet.
Look, you stupid prat, don't you realize who you're talking to?
Yes, the vet.
No, you're cretin. You flew to fairylands.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing there?
I live here.
I see. You live in fairyland and you climb down chimneys.
Yeah.
Well, you're not coming down mine.
Look, have you got no idea who I am?
Give me a clue, then.
Right. I'm big and I'm fat. I wear funny clothing and I'm very jolly and I'm always laughing.
Oh, yeah. I've got it now. You must think I'm a right twit. It's Stuart Hall.
Hello, Grumbleweeds.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. That last joke about Stuart Hall, wonderful.
Coming from someone who's as wonderful as you, Terry, that really is a wonderful compliment. Terry, are you actually talking to us from that studio in London where you run the country?
No,
Now, come on, lads. I don't run the country. I just own it.
Wonderful.
Anyway, lads, I must go. I have to oil Jimmy Young's bath chair and massage his legs. Although he's perked up quite a bit since he got the Queen's telegram. It's his second, you know. The first was from Victoria.
And how's about nothing, guys and gals? Because would you believe that Jimmy the Gaffer Geezer is in the one and only Albert Hall for this year's Fabulous Pop Awards? Now then, can you stand the suspense? Because any minute now, we are going to meet the one and only pop personality of the year, the man who has contributed more to the pop scene than anybody else in the history of pop music. Goodness gracious, you say. Now then, what all you good guys and gals listening at home want to know is, will history repeat itself? Well, do not fret indeed, because he's done it again, the lad himself. For the second year in succession, pop personality of the year, the one and only, Wilf Gasmas Grimshaw. Wilf, the great British public is hanging on to your every word, old son. What message of hope do you have for the future of the British pop industry?
I broke my shoelace this morning.
Fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
Yes, yeah, fabulous. And they were quite new as well.
Yes. That is fabulous as it happens.
It's fascinating, yes.
Goodness gracious, dear Lord Wilf.
Dearly Lord, Jim, yes.
Look, old son.
Yeah?
All the guys and gals, ladies and gentlemen, you see, listening at home, want to know, is it true that you're planning a new group to rival the one and only Adam and the Ants?
Yes, it is, Jim, yes, true, yes.
Fantabulous.
Yes, fantabulous, yeah.
Well, come on, old son, what's the group going to be called?
Wilf and the Worms.
That is double fab knockout as it happens, Will.
Yeah, double fab, double fab knockout, and dearly Lord Jim.
Wilf and the Worms.
Yeah.
Tell us, Wilf, will you be copying the style of Adam and the Ants?
You are. You what? Me copy Adam? He's been copying me for years.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
What, this is a hold-the-front-page double-fab-knockout sensation.
Yeah, it is, Jim. Yeah, it's a hold-the-fab-double-front-knockout, whatever you said it was, isn't it?
Yeah. Adam and the Ants have actually copied the one and only Wilf.
Yeah. Ask anybody in the music business. You just ask Charlie Longbottom. Ask Elsie Gonsop. They'll tell you. I've had a white stripe across the front of my gas mask since a year last August.
That is, like, double amazing.
Yeah.
And also, especially amazing, because, like, how come we've never seen it?
Because it's on the inside.
Why is it on the inside, Wilf, old son?
Well, because I'd look a right fool with it on the outside. Everybody could see it.
Wilfred, I am nonplussed, old son.
Yeah, I think I would be. Yeah. And then there was me songy pinched.
Double hold the front page.
Yeah, he had a song. Pinched him in, didn't he?
And you actually wrote it then,
Wilf?
I believe you, Wilf.
Yeah. But mine was a Chinese version.
Chinese version? I can't wait to hear it, old son.
I sing it for you.
Do.
Chicken chumming. Chicken chumming, please knock on to this area.
Fabulous.
Fabulous, dear Lord, and double knockout, yeah? And that other fella pinched my name as well.
Goodness gracious, who's that? Who is that, Wilf?
Shaking Stevens.
He pinched your name, the mind boggles. Who were you, old son?
Wobbling Wilf.
Goodness gracious, dear Lord. Dear Lord, you say that. Jimmy here thought you were going to say shaking gas mask.
That's a silly name.
Anyway, Werewolf Holstrom, well, how are you going to celebrate actually being voted for the second year running Pop Personality of the Year?
Well? Well, well, well. As it's never been done before in the history of anything, I thought I'd mark the occasion by doing something really memorable, bubble.
Fabulous, Will, fabulous.
Yeah. On Saturday night, I'm going to open a tin of corned beef.
Can I say that? That is typical of the man.
Yeah.
And what about your new double fab knockout latest single also?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how's about you giving the great British public the first hearing of what could be, like, the record of the year?
Okay, Jim. Here it comes. It's called, and this is the title, Hooked on Gas Masks. Fabulous indeed, Jim.
And we're now going to be treated to a rendition.
No.
Not even a little rendition.
No.
No.
I'm going to sing it for you.
Dear Lord.
Double, dear Lord. Fab knockout. Hooked on gas masks. Me disco medley.
Off you go, Will.
Are you ready for this? Me disco medley. 7, 9, 4, 6. We're from 45. He shouldn't be alive. He's got his gas mask out. So let's have his hands up. Hey. It happened once before. When I walked through your door. In me gas mask. Did you think I would leave you dying? There's a room on the gas mask for another. Surrendered in the night, exchanging gas masks. Tiptoe through the tulips, with my gas mask hanging around me. Didn't we have a wonderful time today? We wore a gas mask. And I put on the blue pants. Yes. I take you home again to my gas mask. So tie a yellow gas mask from me granny. You put your gas mask in. Your gas mask out. In, out, in. How you shake it all about. You do the okey-dokey, and you scratch your bum. That's what it's all about. Yeah. Wear the gas mask. It's as simple as can be. Wear the gas mask. Can you look as bad as me? I'm dreaming of a white Christmas dinner. How much is that gas mask in the window? The one with the waggly strap. Pardon me, boy. Is that the cat who chewed me gas mask? Everybody loves the gas mask. That's why I'm in love with it. Take your gas mask. Take your gas mask. I'm kicking on top of me gas mask. There is nothing like a gas mask. Nothing in the world. There is nothing you can name. Nothing, there is nothing like a gas mask. There'll always be a gas mask. As long as black is white. So always wear your gas mask when you go to bed at night.
I'd like to do one of my poems. Thank you. I went to the office party to get some Yuletide cheer. They'd ever such a lot to drink, whiskey, wine and beer. They had a great big Christmas tree and loads of mistletoe. But I had some stuck on me head in case the boys were slow. There was Harry from Forward Planning, a chunky looking man. But he wasn't very forward and he didn't have a plan. So I got him in a corner and in tender tones I said, "Don't you know what this is for?" And I pointed to me head. I leaned forward and closed my eyes and I puckered up me lips. And I waited and I waited for him to pucker his. But nothing seemed to happen. Still I thought I'd better stay. But when I opened up my eyes, it was Boxing Day.
Excuse me, pal.
Hiya, sir. Can I help you?
Are you the Foreign Legion recruitment officer?
Yes, I am indeed, sir.
And is it true your slogan's march or die?
March or die, sir, yes.
And you have cruel sergeants who slap you around and smash your face in?
Yes, I'm afraid so, sir.
And you make recruits march for days in full battle dress, blistering in the hot desert sun?
Well, yes.
And is it true you shoot deserters?
Well, yes, sir. We are exceptionally cruel, sir, yes.
I'd like a form to sign up for 70 years.
Oh, certainly, sir. Yes, there you are.
Sign this, Mildred. It's that super holiday, I promise you.
Right, lads. What are you drinking?
Back for me, Harry.
Yeah, all up the same.
I hope he's here again.
Who is?
Fred Fibber.
You don't have to tell him, our friend.
He was telling me last week he's Charlie out of Charlie's Angels.
Oh, that bloke you never seen.
Aye.
He tells some whoppers he does.
All right, lads. Happy Christmas, Fred. What are you drinking?
All right, go on, I'll have a pint, Harry.
Bitter?
Creme de menthe.
A pint of creme de menthe?
I've got a raging thirst on me.
I can't afford a pint of creme de menthe.
Only 13 quid a pint. All right, get us half then.
4 pints of bitter, please, Agnes.
Hey, I thought you were throwing a party tonight, Fred.
I've just nicked out. I'm sick and tired of it. I told our Enid invite some interesting people. Who she invited? Her Uncle Albert, her Auntie May, Pat and Dick and kids, old Sid the Lollipop Man and Bo Derek. Aye, she's an Hollywood film star or something.
Oh, come on.
Bo Derek. I'm telling you, this Bo Derek, Lord Litchfield, Princess Grace of Monaco, Brian Ferris from Flaming Pop Group Rolling Stones or something, and Netta Buggins from Me Counter at Clop.
What are you talking about?
Honest, honest, it's really the Netta Buggins. They can slice it at Clop.
Hey, never mind Netta Buggins. What's all this about Princess Grace and the Rolling Stones?
That's right, I'm not kidding. And talk about sophistication. They're like a load of flaming animals. I mean, Princess Grace, right? Having Christmas tea, right? Turkey, the lot, the full Monty. She has tomato sauce with everything. Giving it that she is, huge great dollops of the stuff, a plate swimming in it, I mean. I like tomato sauce, but were you Christmas pudding?
Come off it, Fred. Princess Grace.
What are you talking about? Just turn it in.
And Brian Ferret, don't give me jet set. He's there, trifle all down his white dinner jacket, picking his teeth with a knitting needle. And if that's not enough to turn your stomach, he's there screaming at the top of his voice, "Let's have a pickled egg eating competition."
You don't know Brian Ferret.
And that Bo Derek, I'm not kidding, lads. There we were, having tea. I've got me glass of Chablis 57, and she's on a second crate of milk stout. Give me that. Next thing I know, she's interfering with me under the table.
Turn it in, will you, Fred?
What a load of rubbish.
It's right, honest, lads, honest. I tell you, listen, there's Inuit Lips. What's he called? Mick Jagger. He's drinking champagne out of Arena's shoe.
I say, sir, you want to watch that?
Find out our Enid, you'll end up with athlete's mouth. Didn't take any notice. ruin them flaming wellies. It's right. Any road, I'd best be off now. I promise I'd nip into off license for a bottle of pink gin for Stuart Hall.
You what? Stuart Hall? He's at your party.
The Stuart Hall?
Of course not the Stuart Hall. I don't invite any old rubbish.
I mean that most sincerely, I really do. A little tickly cough in the back of the throat there, my jollies. Terribly sorry about that. Welcome once again to the BBC's latest talent show, Search for a Rising Flop. Yes, customers? This is the show. This is the show where we scour the country to find the worst, the most puerile acts, and then we groom them for stardom on this show. And tonight we've got a real beauty, friends. I want you to meet the man who, after his spot on this program, hopes to be the rising flop of the year. Let's hear it for Arnie Faggot. Now, Arnie, old son, tell us what you do for a living.
I'm a burglar.
Tremendous. What a sense of humor. What I really mean is, what have you been doing for the last 6 months?
6 months.
And what do you actually do?
Drain pipe into the bedroom window.
No, Arnie. What sort of an act are you going to do tonight?
Impressions, mate. I'm the greatest farmyard impressionist since the great Jimmy Giblets.
That's truly tremendous, friends. So for this week's Rising Flop, we give you Arnie Faggot and a walk in the country.
Tweet, tweet. Tweet, 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 whistle, whistle. Cuckoo, tweet, bark, bark, quack. Quack, tweet, whistle, cluck, cluck, cluck. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Bark, cuckoo, quack, tweet, tweet, quack, bark, cuckoo. Squawk. Bark, 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 pip, 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 bark, pip, pip, man out of the way, you stupid great dog. Scritcher breaks, wallock, bark, yelp, dog over the fence. Whack. Here, have you just hit my dog? Who are you talking to, you four-eyed git? Don't you talk to me like that, it was your dog's fault. What are you talking about, fist in the mouth, smashing the teeth, bleeding nose, blood running down the gutter, tweet, tweet.
Okay, Arnold, that'll do.
Oh, it my husband, would you? You great stupid leap. Me crunching into the groin, arg, arg, eyes water, gas, gas, choke, choke.
Thank you, Arnie. Thank you, old son.
Hello, hello, hello. Blue uniform, knees bent, squeaky boots, oh, look out, it's Auntie Edna. And now for my big finish, Tommy Cooper, Michael Crawford, Errol Wilson and Jimmy Cagney all going together, falling down a lift shaft. Ah, splodge. Thank you.
Hello, yes, once again it's me, your old friend Uncle Rubbish, saying once again, welcome, once again to Nostalgia Time, once again. Well, here it is again, once again, Christmas has come round once again. It hardly seems 12 months ago that it was here before, and now it's here again, once again. I remember thinking last year it hadn't seen 12 months since it was Christmas before. And that was 2 Christmases ago. It hardly seems 2 Christmases ago that it was 2 Christmases ago. And now here it is once again, another Christmas. 2 Christmases since it were 2 Christmases ago. My, how time flies.
My, how you bore the pants off me. You really do get right up my nose, pal.
Yes. Once again, we can ask the age-old question. What do we like to do at Christmas?
Rip your windpipe out. And hang it up as a Christmas stocking.
He doesn't mean it.
You try me, pal.
No. What we like to do at Christmas, old and young alike, is go to bed on Christmas Eve and experience the excitement of waking up on Christmas morning to see if Santa had come down the chimney. I remember my father saying to me one Christmas Eve, Margaret, he said, Try and go to sleep, or Santa won't come. And we used to leave him a glass of wine on the landing to refresh him on his way. And in the morning, the glass was empty. Ooh, wasn't that magic?
Of course it won't, you cretin. Your flaming mother and father had supped it.
I felt sorry for Santa having to come down the dirty old chimney. So one Christmas, I left all the doors and windows wide open. My, what a surprise we had in the morning. You wouldn't believe some of the things he had left us that Christmas. He left us a space where the television had been. He left us a whole pile of empty drawers. And he left us some bits of broken wood, which would have perfectly matched the furniture we used to have. My, how pleased my father was when I told him it was me that had left the doors open for Santa. Oh, how he danced with joy. Then he patted me on the head with a coal hammer.
I'm getting to quite like your father, pal.
He doesn't mean it. But as my old granny used to say, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas if it wasn't December. Every year my old granny used to say that, till one year they wouldn't let us in to see her. So, happy Christmas, everybody, and don't forget the old proverb. Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat, me grandma's so short-sighted, she's gone and stuffed the cat.
Excuse me, but when am I going to do my big bet?
You what, love?
My big bet. You know, the pantomime. I'm supposed to be playing the fairy.
It's a bit of miscasting, isn't it?
I don't think I like your tone, young man.
I mean, that's a bit like having Cyril Smith to play Tom Thumb.
You know, you're beginning to get right up my nose, you are.
Ah, what's it again, girl, this? Ah, she plays scrum half for Whitehaven. If I'm a breeze, one-eyed Alsatian for the common market.
Ah. Is it me, or is everybody crackers round here?
Mrs. Slocum, worry you not, you see, because Jimmy here has got news for you. We're not actually doing a one and only pantomime.
But I've learned my lines. My name is Fairy Snowdrop. Through Fairyland I wander. So why not join my happy band?
And we'll have an up and under.
Shut up. Look, I want to know what I'm doing.
I like this lass. She's good. She's got determination and commitment. That's what it's all about. I bet she's good at spraying it all over the park.
If I'm not doing the pantomime, I'm going home.
Now then, as it happens, like, we have got here the right vehicle for you.
The double-decker bus.
I'll fetch him one.
Now then, Grumbleweed Productions presents the one and only Molly Sugden in... That's Trouble at Mill.
Yorkshire, the year 1898. A Yorkshire where for sixpence you could buy a pint of beer, a pork pie, a packet of fags, and still have enough change to buy an ounce of peppermints to take away the taste of beer and pork pie and fags. Seth Elroyd is master of Ravensbrig Mill at Cleck Egmonsidge in West Riding of Yorkshire. He lives in a grim-looking stone-faced house with Lottie, his grim-looking stone-faced wife. Seth is eldest of 27 brothers and 19 sisters, the children of old Amos Allroyd, founder at firm, who in his time worked an 18-hour day and overworked a 6-hour night. But today has been Seth's birthday, a time for relaxing with family.
Well, Lottie, I've said this afore and I'll say it again. When it comes to cooking, you're in a class of your own. They were best lamb cutlets I've ever tasted.
They were fish cakes, Dad.
Aye, well, as I say, when it comes to cooking, you're in a class of your own.
More rhubarb wine, Seth.
Is that what it is? I've been putting it on me chips.
And what about you, our Walter? It's homemade.
No, thank you, Mother. I've had enough.
Very nice, Walter. You've obviously seen what it does to people.
No, Dad, I've seen her making stuff.
I've put a dozen bottles on one side for when you get married to Winnie Armitage.
Oh, hey, I am a lucky man, aren't I?
Yeah, that lad, it could have been 2 dozen.
Have you and Winnie decided on a date yet, Walter?
Well, Mother, we were hoping for the second week in July, but I can't get off work.
Same. Same. Ooh, it's disgusting, that is. You mean you can't get time off for your own wedding?
No, not at all.
That's disgusting. There's no other word for it. It's disgusting.
I can't spare him, Lottie. It's our busy time.
That's all you ever think about, Seth Allroyd. Mills.
Look, lass, let's not fall out today of all days. You know, I can't help smiling at our Walter getting married.
What do you mean, Seth?
It's reminded me of when you and me were first married 35 years ago. Do you remember the honeymoon?
Oh, I do, Seth. It was wonderful.
Aye, the fun we had, the excitement, the romantic atmosphere.
Aye. You can't beat Grimsby. Do you remember the time you took me out on that boating lake in that rowing boat?
I know that last.
Oh, we had lunch at that little cafe. And you said, let's go out for an hour on the lake. Oh, I remember as though it were yesterday. Seth?
Yes, Lottie?
We've been out on this lake for nearly half an hour and you haven't spoken once.
I know, Lottie. It's that toffee you gave me. It stuck to me teeth. Besides, Lottie, I've been thinking.
What about, Seth?
About us, Lottie.
Oh, Seth.
But mainly about you, Lottie.
Oh, Seth.
I was thinking how frail and tired you were looking.
I am tired, Seth.
Has your father been working you too hard at that mill, Lottie?
No, Seth.
Well, has the excitement at wedding been too much for you?
No, Seth.
Well, what is it, lass?
Well, it's just that I'm not used to rowing. I thought you were going to say something else. I mean, at lunchtime, you kept staring at me across the table. Every time I looked up, you were staring at me.
I know, Lottie.
My heart was there, pounding away the way you were staring at me.
I know, Lottie.
And I kept wondering why you were staring at me.
You'd a great big dollop of custard on end of your nose. Actually, Lottie, there was something I wanted to say to you, but not in that cafe. But last night, in bed.
Ooh, Seth.
You look so lovely in that new 90 you got from Co-op. And moonlight shining through bedroom window.
Oh, Seth, what was it you wanted to say?
Come in, number 7!
Happy days then, Lottie, happy days. Are you enjoying your birthday then, Dad? Of course I am, Walter. My only regret is that there's one vacant chair at family table. Our youngest son's chair.
Eh, poor Edgar. If only he could have been with us.
Don't get upset, lass. It's no use fretting. Somebody had to clean out that boiler.
There you go again. Mill, mill, mill. It's all you ever think about.
I was thinking about asking our Ephraim to be best man, you know.
You couldn't do any better, Walter.
Your mother's right, lad. There isn't a smarter lad in the valley. Do you remember his wedding day, Lottie?
I do, Seth.
He looked fair grand as he left for church, wearing your father's mourning suit.
You don't think he looked daft, Dad?
How do you mean, daft?
Well, you know, with my father only having one leg.
No, no. At least he had sense to stand sideways for a photograph. And if he hadn't, you could hardly tell they were only half a pair of trousers.
Yeah, it was a good idea of mine to paint his leg with that grey undercoat.
I hope, Mother. Who's that at this time of night?
Look out the window, Dad. Hey, they're coming up drive.
Oh, Seth, what are we going to do? What if the men get violent?
Look, lass, in all the years you've known me, have you ever seen me once shirk my duties?
No, Seth, I haven't.
You ever once known me flinch at the thought of trouble?
No, Seth, I haven't.
And have you ever once known me run away from my responsibilities?
No, Seth, I haven't.
Well, there you are. There's a first time for everything. I'm off.
No, Dad. Sorry, you've got to face them.
There's only one way you could stop the men, Seth.
Nay, Lottie, we're not sending for John Inman at this time of night.
Let them in, Ainsworth. Right-o, Seth.
All right. Who's your spokesman?
Me, Gaffer.
Willie Hardcastle. Hey. So it's come to this.
It has.
And you, Sam Arkwright.
Aye, Gaffer.
Get it over with. Say what you've got to say.
You might as well know, Mr. Allwright. We're unanimous in our feelings.
Aye, it's been boiling up for weeks. It's got to be done, Master.
Aye, it must be done now. Tomorrow will be too late.
Oh, Seth.
Oh, sure, shall I? Right, Willie Hardcastle. You don't frighten me. Get it, don't we?
Right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Master. Happy birthday to you.
Yes, lad, you've been listening to the Grumbleweeds. Albert, Al, Graham, Morris and Robin. And next to me, the greatest thing since the sliced pan. Their special guests were the talented and lovable Molly Sugden. And their not-so-special guests were Terry Hall and Stuart Logan. The Grumbleweeds Christmas Party was written by Mike Craig, Ron McDonald, Bob Grant and Doug Naylor. And produced, if that's not too strong a word, in Manchester, and that's much too strong a word, by the chief of chief programs, Mike Craig. He gets right up my nose.